Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
In our reading today, we're looking at Paul's visit to Philippi. There he meets a woman called Lydia, one of the leaders in the early church. And for history buffs, Philippi was a very famous city and area. If you remember back to your history, when Julius Caesar was murdered, there was a power vacuum and a struggle for who was going to be emperor and head of things. And a very decisive battle took place in Philippi, where Octavian and Mark Antony defeated Brutus and Cassius. And of course, Octavian's other name is Augustus, and he was the emperor. He became the emperor when Jesus was born. So a lot of history in this area that Paul is visiting and where he meets this woman. And a lot of former military people are retired here as well. This, by the way, is probably Paul's favorite church. If you read the New Testament, of all Paul's letters, his letter to the Philippians is the most joyful of them all. It's the happiest letter that he wrote. Here's the account from the book of Acts. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak with the women who had gathered there. One of those was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, very expensive stuff. She was a worshiper of God, and that often means that she was a Gentile attracted to the Jewish faith. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay in my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. This month we've been looking at some of the women in the Bible, and in previous weeks we've turned to Ruth and Naomi. Last week we looked at Esther. And today we turn to the New Testament and to Lydia, who was, so far as we know, the first person who was converted to the Christian faith in Europe, on the continent of Europe. So she's quite a historic figure. Who was this Lydia? What was she like? And how might she be an example to us in the living of our own lives? What might she say to us? What was she like? Lydia was a successful businesswoman. That's the first thing to say. I have served a church where they had a Lydia circle. This was back in the days when women's groups were very active. There was a Lydia circle in one of the churches I served, and this was made up of business women who met once a month at the church. And today, you know, we have some very successful women in business. We have Oprah, Mary Barra, who's with GM, who's at Sandberg, who's with Facebook. There are a lot of women in executive positions. There are also women today who are very active in as celebrities with their own clothing line. And you think of Madonna and Gwyneth Paltrow. I think the Kardashians at one point even had a clothing line. I don't know if it lasted or not. But a lot of people who are celebrities have their own clothing line. And this was the business that Lydia was in. She was in the garment and fashion business and very good at it. She was the sales rep, really, of a Turkish firm that made purple cloth. Now, purple was a very special color in the ancient world. You got purple dye from a very special shellfish that was only caught off a certain section of the Turkish coast. And if you were to buy, say, a pound of purple wool, it would run you into the thousands of dollars. This was big stuff. Lydia is a seller of purple cloth. You wouldn't find her stuff off the rack in Marshall's. She had a very elite, a very, upper crust kind of crowd she dealt with. In the ancient world, senators, magistrates, and knights wore a purple line across their togas. Generals in battle wore purple as their cloak. And of course, Caesar, if he was going to a party, he wore purple. So this is a very select clientele, very high-priced, high-end stuff she's involved in. She has done very well for herself in a patriarchal society. She has a big house, and she has servants. She's made it. Very successful person. That's the first thing we want to say. The second is that she is also a person searching in her own life for something else. And at least in my experience with people who have been very successful in worldly terms, some of them at least have realized that there has to be something more. As nice as that is to be successful, there has to be something more. You know, it's not just the person with the most toys wins when you die. It has to be something more than that. And she was searching for a faith that would give her perspective on what life was all about. And at first, initially, in a world that was just filled with all kinds of gods, city gods, house gods, family gods, she was drawn to the Jewish faith. She was drawn to the Jewish faith because of its worship of one God and because of its ethical stance in the ancient world. That attracted her. She was looking for something more. And in Philippi, there weren't enough men, really, to form a synagogue. You need 10 men to form a synagogue. So she and some women are meeting out by the side of a river, and there they're having their prayer meeting when Paul comes along. There have been studies done of people's religious life, and people have been asked to describe what their first experience of God's love was like. Have you ever thought of that? What their first experience of God's love was like, and what their experience of God's love that was a determining factor in the rest of their lives. What was that like? And it's interesting that in 80% of the respondents there's another person involved in this religious experience of God. It could be a minister, it could be a teacher, a youth worker, a family member, a friend. But someone else is involved, and in this case, it is Paul who is the determining factor for this person. It is he who brings her to faith. Now, you remember last week we were talking about Esther and that line in Esther that says, who knows but what God has made you queen for just a moment as this to save your people. I have a friend who was preaching on that line. You know, who knows why God has you here for just a moment as this and not some other place. And she was preaching on this, and all of a sudden, there must have been someone in back of the church who was fiddling around with their cell phone or their iPad or goodness knows what. But Siri comes on so that everybody can hear. And Siri says, "Sorry, no contact. Please try again later." If you can imagine that Siri voice coming over the congregation. And my friend said that just affected everything. She lost it all right there. But Lydia heard the message. It struck home. The Bible passage says that God opened her heart and she heard. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, there's a line where God is speaking to the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "I have called your name, and you are mine." And I think something similar happened in the life of this woman. That in her own experience, she felt God calling her name and claiming her. It's interesting, if you recall back to Easter and Mary Magdalene in the garden, what makes her recognize the risen Christ? He calls her name. He calls her by name, Mary. This is something that this woman took to heart, and she becomes now a Christian. She's baptized, interesting, with all her servants. They're all baptized together. That's very ancient. She's the first Christian that we know of in Europe. Lydia, a very successful business person. It's interesting. Last week we were talking about Eleanor Roosevelt, too. And one thing about her religious life, I don't think Franklin had much of a religious life, but she definitely did. And reportedly, she carried a piece of paper in her pocketbook at all times that said, "Think of your enemies seldom. Think of your friends often. Think of Christ every day." And I think that was Lydia. That was Lydia. Think of your enemies seldom. Think of your friends often. Think of the Christ every day. Person of faith, a leader in the church. She is a person who has this quality, this gift of hospitality. Did you notice the end of the account? She invites Paul and the missionaries into her home. And after that, she invites the church into her home. Remember, in these days, people did not go to church buildings. There were no church buildings. They met in people's homes. And if someone had a big house, that's where they met. She had this gift of hospitality. Come and stay in my house. I think that gift of hospitality means that a person wants to know you, understand you, wants to know what you're doing, what you're about, for your sake. Not for what they can get out of it, but for your sake. They're interested in you. And this woman definitely had that gift. St. Paul, in writing to the early church, says, you know, you are no longer strangers, but you are members of the household of God. And we know in our own church we have what? The hospitality committee that keeps us well-fed and happy. But there's also, I think, in our fellowship, this reaching out to others to make them feel welcome, to make them feel home, to make them feel family. You belong here. You're part of us. You're part of the fellowship of Christ. And it's something this church is known for, that family feeling offered to others. And I think there's a Roman Catholic order called the Benedictines, and they have a rule that says the depth of your prayer, the depth of your prayer will be measured by the degree of your hospitality. Think about that today. The depth of your prayer will be measured by the degree of your hospitality. And is there someone even today that we could reach out to and say, welcome, your family, regardless of who you are, where you come from, your family in the household of God? Hospitality was very important in the Old Testament. The New Testament builds upon it. Remember Jesus in that parable of the Last Judgment? What does he say? I was a foreigner and you welcomed me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. And there's that famous line from the book of Hebrews, which says, you know, be sure to welcome the stranger, because some have entertained angels unawares. I've always liked that. Be sure to welcome the stranger, for some have entertained angels unawares. I think Lydia had that quality. That's something for all of us to follow her on. Lydia, a very successful businesswoman, a person seeking out a meaningful faith for her life, which she found in the Christ, and a person who had that gift of making people feel at home. And you can imagine, here she was, she's a leader in the church, they're meeting in her house. With her kind of personal skills, that church thrived and became a leading church as well in the ancient world, through the qualities that she had. She's a people person. It's interesting again that Paul liked this church probably more than any other church. He always had them in mind, and they had him in mind too. When he's in prison, who sends help? People from Philippi send him help. Lydia, an example to us all. Amen.